Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady Co-Redemptrix, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alas, we always do on Palm Sunday, we always read the Passion of our Lord. This year, the Church has as its selection for this Palm Sunday the reading, the Gospel from the Gospel of Matthew. And as we know, Matthew wrote his Gospel for the Jewish converts to Christianity. So he therefore brings out a lot of the Old Testament prophecies that our Lord fulfilled, and even especially he points them out in the Passion. We even heard in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, that prophet of old who wrote about our Lord's Passion even centuries before it even took place, almost as if he was given a preview of it and was writing words which our Lord would later on repeat to remind his audience and those who were there standing at the foot of the cross. Not only Our Lady and St. John, but even his enemies that were there would hear our Lord repeating these phrases, and obviously it should have struck a certain kind of deja vu with them that, you know, this man is truly, something about him is truly different, and we've heard this before someplace else. But all this was to help the Jews at that time to come to faith, to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And even our Lord did not mince words when he was asked under oath, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" He, of course, being the Son of God and the truth itself, said, "You said it so. Yes, I am," as he had said so many times before. Why does the Church always bring before us the Passion, you might say? Why are we reminded every year in the liturgical season? Because we are human and we need reminders. We need to be constantly calling to mind the price that our Lord Jesus Christ paid for us. You know, and so we reflect on this precious sacrifice. You know, that St. Paul even says it's more precious than all the gold, this Lamb, the spotless Lamb, the Son of God, who laid down his life for us. And it also is to remind us, because sometimes we are so easy to forget, you know, especially in some places where they have this gospel of prosperity, you know, that somehow everything is going to be, you know, like you have the Midas touch. If you're a follower of Christ, you know, you're going to touch everything, it's going to turn to gold, and you're never going to have any suffering or any kind of needs in the way of economic or materially. Well, that's not the case. Our Lord has said, "Take up your cross and follow me." And our Lord, of course, showed us by his own example. And we know that as followers of Christ, we too are going to have to undergo our own share in the Passion of Christ. It is, our Lord even said, that the servant is no greater than the master. So maybe as you reflect and you maybe have some suffering in your life at this time, some kind, whether it be physical or some emotional or just a heartache because of the ones you love are not reciprocating that love, or you see them, you know, walking in a path that is not good, all your sufferings have value. And I think that's the thing that the Church wants us to be reminded, and even as Fulton Sheen, soon to be, made blessed Fulton Sheen, reminded us, says, don't waste your suffering. Don't allow your suffering to go to waste. And when is our suffering wasted? When we forget to unite it to Christ. Or when we see that somehow we complain and think that it has no value, or that we wish that we didn't have it, and that we could, be free of this. But it's important that we realize that our Lord loves us too much to let us get away, and wants to share with us the thing that he loved the most, and that was he loved, he desired. It says that he looked with the day on which he was going to offer his sacrifice, and he looked with it with longing, with a certain sigh of how he couldn't wait to once again repair that damage that our first parents did in the garden. And so if our Lord loved the cross, because it is his great love for us, then truly he's going to share that love with us, and that he's going to allow us to participate in his suffering. You know, we have medicine, the whole field of medicine is to relieve suffering and to help us to be well. And really, it's a study of the effects of original sin when you come to look at it, because there would be no need for medicine if our first parents hadn't rejected God's plan. But it doesn't mean that we don't want to relieve suffering, because the church has spent its whole, you might say, a lot of its apostolates are to relieve suffering in any and every aspect. But at a certain point, we know that we can only do so much, and that suffering will remain, because God wants it to remain so that he can use it for redemptive value, and that our sufferings, when united to Christ, do have a great power of reconciling sinners, first and foremost, for our own selves and for those, our brothers and sisters around us. So let us not look upon our sufferings as, why me, or what did I do wrong to God, or why is he allowing me to suffer this? But rather maybe to, as Francisco de Osuno, the famous Franciscan spiritual writer, in his third spiritual alphabet wrote, he said, you're not really worthy to consider yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, if you don't thank him for your crosses as well as the blessings. That really is the test. That when we can thank our Lord for the crosses, the sufferings that he sends or allows to come to us, that really shows that we have grasped the meaning of our Lord's life and his gospel. Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, famous Edith Stein, said that the central message of the gospel is the science or the knowledge of the cross. And so if that's the central message of the gospel, the science or the knowledge of the cross, the importance of the cross in our Lord's life and why he took it up, and then also why we have crosses in our own life, then we truly are able to make use of them, and truly then our crosses are not wasted. So I encourage you, maybe you have gotten a little bit tired of carrying your cross and wish that God would remove it. But God loves us too much to do that. And he permits us to suffer. He permits us to offer. And so someday he'll remove that suffering. It may be while still in this world, you know, he may allow us to have a reprieve, or he only maybe wants you to have that cross for a time. But we know for sure and for certain that he will take it away when we pass from this world to the next. That if we have been faithful to carrying our crosses, that they come with a reward, with a promise, when our Lord will say to us, good and faithful servant, welcome into my kingdom. Welcome into the joy of my kingdom. That we also are reminded that the passion is followed by the resurrection. And this should give us hope and should give us strength to carry our cross, because we know that it's not forever. We know that it will be rewarded because we have carried it out of love for Christ. And that our Lord truly does have, he values the cross. And anything that we do and take up for love of him will not go unrewarded. We can have that rest assured that if we have been loving Christ enough to share in his cross, to take up our cross and follow him, that he will reward us with life eternal. And we may even, at the end of our, you know, when we see what our Lord will give us for carrying that cross, for enduring that suffering, we'll say, wow, I wish I would have asked for more when I was here on this earth. St. Teresa of Avila pretty much says as much. She says, when you see how much our Lord values your crosses and the sufferings that you endured for love of him, she said, you would ask for more. That truly makes the saints a lot different than us. But we need to pray and ask God. That's what we should all be striving for, is that kind of heroic love. That heroic love that our Lord exhibited on Good Friday. And that heroic love that he had for us and still has. And so therefore, he wants us to have that heroic love. You know, maybe we've been too much settling with a namby-pamby gospel. You know, that wimps. Our Lord doesn't call us to be wimps. He calls us to be truly heroic martyrs, soldiers, those who are willing to fight for the truth, to fight for that greatest love that has ever loved man, and that we see on the cross every time we look at the crucifix. So let us truly make this Holy Week a special week of grace, that we will renew our love for Christ and ask him to help us to carry that cross that he has given to each and one of us, and that we will not let it be wasted, but that we'll unite it to his and ask him to, as St. Francis prayed when he was marked with the wounds of Christ, no, he said, may I experience just some of the pain that you experienced for the love of us poor sinners, provided that I also may experience some of just that, a little bit of that love that you had for us on the cross. And of course, that was the greatest reward that St. Francis got, was that he was able to love Christ and love us, love one another as Christ has loved us. Let us pray and ask Our Lady especially, who stood faithfully at the foot of the cross and who followed her son all the way to Calvary, to help us to follow him and to be offered and unite ourselves with him, knowing that those who have suffered with him will be glorified with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.